time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, a Robin Hood Radio's wandering, roving, still haven't settled on it, reporter. What's going on out there, Ruth? Hello.
Good morning.
Presumably.
Well, let's focus on Salisbury for a while.
Okay.
There's lots of activity going on up there.
Yeah.
Perry Street, that property up off Main Street there, that was a dry cleaners.
That's right.
It's been in the news for a long time. The town got it. They cleaned it up. They got a grant to help clean up some of the contamination from the dry cleaning chemicals, and then decided to give it off to an affordable housing group, and they are putting in two modular homes up there. I think they're going in this week. They're being delivered. So in the ever ongoing quest for affordable houses, this will be another two houses.
Well, see, they're modular. That's the way to go. I said that way you get the job done, and it's usually quite a bit less expensive.
Right, I would assume. So they're coming in, I believe, this week. They're going to be temporarily put at the Grove and then put on the site when it's ready, which should be pretty soon.
As soon as the big crane arrives.
Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes out for it. And then also in Salisbury, the Wake Robin doesn't go away.
Talking lawsuits, people.
Yep. The Krugers, who were interveners in the whole process, they applied for and were given intervener status. For those who aren't familiar, Wake Robin was sold, and it was the new owners want to put in a resort type, increase the amenities there and make it a larger resort site. So it went through P&Z, long hearings and back and forth, and P&Z finally did deny it last year on several grounds. It will, I'm sure, reappear. This is Aradev, who has bought it, and they have resorts elsewhere. But the Krugers, before the application came through, there was a change in regulations by P&Z to allow hotels in rural residential areas, and that's the nut of where the Krugers lawsuit is. They're suing against, saying that was, in anticipation of this application that was coming in, and P&Z says, absolutely not. That was on the books before that. So it's a lawsuit. So, again, we will follow and see what happens.
It's kind of reminiscent a little bit of what went on over in North Canaan, which, of course, hasn't resulted in a lawsuit. But
right.
As we had said here, we were thinking that might have been a little questionable to make
right.
the change when they did.
Change of
but, you
regulations.
Know, it's interesting,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that seems to be happening a lot with text amendments.
Yeah, well, Salisbury, too, a number of years ago for the Holly Block project that the affordable housing folks wanted to do, that was out floating in the air and being talked about, and they hired a consultant and wrote regulations for affordable housing that would allow it to be there. So, here we go. Which one, unless somebody's willing to sue, it's a difficult thing when you're writing things in anticipation of something. That's really a fine line you're walking on.
So was something on this one written in anticipation of something?
No, they said zoning folks and land use
saying that there's no...
No collusion. That's a tough word. But no, that it was in the works before this application came before them. So so I'm sure the lawyers will battle it out and see what happens.
Superior Court gets busy.
And so do the lawyers.
And they get rich.
Yes, yes.
And the taxpayer gets poorer because we're paying for all the lawyers.
So that's Salisbury. In Sharon this week on Saturday, they had a talk by Tom Zetterstrom on bittersweet and invasives. The place was packed. Lots of not just landowners, but landscape designers and folks who work in that field. And It was pretty much focused on Hamlin Preserve, which is one of the Sharon Land Trust's assets. And he just, it's pretty, you know, the pretty impressive what invasives can do to property. And so they showed what it was like before a group of volunteers got in there and really cleaned it up, and what it looks like now. This is an ongoing, oh, and then there was a field walk in the afternoon after that. But this is a series, an ongoing series on land management that several groups, including the Land Trust and the Energy Environmental Commission and the Audubon and some other groups, are holding for the next few weeks. And so on Saturday, there's going to be another one talking about how to deal with your invasives. Again, 10 o'clock on Saturday at Sharon Town Hall. I would assume, again, people are very interested in this. You know, if you ride around, sometimes it's hard to determine. You think, oh, isn't that a pretty landscape, when it's really filled with invasives that are killing off trees by the, for really.
Yeah, well, you can see a lot of trees still out there where these invasives have basically wrapped all around
exactly,
the tree.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
wrapped it to the point where you would believe it is the tree itself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They really, it's amazing. Tom showed a bittersweet vine that was like, you know, 12 feet high. It's just, and they do. They strangle the trees.
They do.
It's amazing. A nice little note here. Amanda Freund, who runs, she and her dad, Matthew, run the cow pots. You know, the they've made little seed boxes out of cow manure. It's an incredible operation, which takes recycles manure, gets it into a useful product, and it also is great for the environment. Well, Amanda is going to be on Shark Tank this Friday. She's going to promote her product. For those who don't know, I guess it's a TV show. You go and present your product and ask for some grants, and the panel determines whether.
Well, it's investments by these the people on the panel all are multi-million billionaires, and they're actually opting to help you with it for either a certain amount of the business or X
right.
amount, and it's all dollar. No grants involved. This is just money from the private sector.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There have been a lot of companies that have come out of there that have boomed.
Yeah,
there's one recently that I was reading about from Shark Tank from a number of years back, and they most recently sold their little company they had for something around $90 billion.
Well,
I could use that change.
You gotta wonder who's really got that actual cash.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing. Does anybody actually have all these billions in cash?
We don't want to go there, but
no.
Sorry to be annoying, but that's great news. All right. So it's on.
Oh, so this is Friday, ABC at 8 p.m. and everybody's very excited. Of course, you know, I interviewed Amanda, and she. Absolutely not allowed to tell me what the outcome was.
Yeah,
you have to watch it.
I was going
to
ask.
she did tell me she thought about, you know, you try to really pep up your presentation and make these people. So, yes, you could. They get equity in the firm
right.
and in exchange for giving some money.
Oh, yeah.
So she was trying to think of something unique to do, and she was thought about bringing a live cow onto the set. But she... priced it out, and
hard.
It was way too expensive, so you will see an inflatable cow when you tune in Friday night.
Where did they have to go for filming?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, okay. Yeah. Take a lot
and the
to
process
get
was incredible. She said they're working with several consultants, and this consultant put their name in, and it worked, but it was months and months of first getting approved and then having, well, first getting...
Oh, you have to be cast. It's no pun intended. It's a production, but
yeah.
That's great.
It's all very yes. So months and months of business analysis.
She's actually on TV. That is fantastic.
Yeah. She couldn't rent a cow in Los Angeles?
Well, she thought about it, but she said the expense.
The wrangling? Like, you know, all,
they have cows
in
California?
Unions? You want to talk about regulations? You want to talk about...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. Crossing state lines and everything. That
right.
could be
no, no,
pretty
they've
intense.
Got cows in California, but you can't get a cow into the onto the soundstage well, without a production. I mean, really
said,
and truly.
She was also concerned that the cow would leave its mark.
That was the least of their problems.
Well, they could just make a cow pot out of it.
Yeah, well, so actually... tune in, 8 o'clock Friday night, ABC.
I remember back when they were starting the cow pots. I don't know what it was for some point. I had tuned in on CNN to Larry King, and there was Ben Froin sitting there. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah, Matthew.
Matthew, excuse me, that's right.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of looking, so I'm listening to this thing fascinated, because I think I was living in the Midwest at this point. And I'm like, what?
What?
Cow manure? Recycled cow manure, isn't that kind of redundant?
Yeah. Matthew
like
was also on Dirty
paper.
Jobs.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
That was a very popular segment, so they're still talking about that one. this Saturday, no, not this Saturday, following Saturday, there'll be a talk on the Buckleys of Sharon at the Sharon Historical Society by author Sam Tannenhaus, who has written a book. Obviously, you know, the Buckleys were very prominent people in Sharon, and talked with Sam yesterday, and sounds like an interesting book, and we'll remind folks next week once again. That's going to be at 11 o'clock on April 12th, following the annual town meeting of the Historical Society. On Saturday, there is a Housatonic Youth Service Bureau Gratitude Gala. They do this every year. They honor somebody, and this year it's Mary Ellen and Jerry Baldwin. That's going to be at the Interlaken at 5 p.m., and folks can buy tickets and support the Youth Service Bureau and honor the Baldwins, who are very much in the volunteer scene here in the northwest corner.
Well, and of course, speaking of volunteers, April is National Volunteer Month.
Oh, okay.
And now Sharon Library is having an event on the 4th, which is Friday, to have recruitment and recognition.
That's
of
the Hotchkiss Library?
Hotchkiss Library, yeah, in Sharon. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right? Okay.
Yeah.
But they're having that, and that is from 5 to 7 p.m. at the library, and they'll have all the various nonprofits and even town boards where they volunteer present so people can chat with them, so people can learn about whether they might want to get involved or not.
Right.
So,
again,
good.
Glad you remember that. What time is that?
That's on Friday the 4th at 5 p.m.
at
the
Hotchkiss
Library.
Library.
And there will be light refreshments.
Okay. And last night I went up to the Emergency Services Center in Falls Village, where they the Falls Village Scholarship Association held a trivia night to raise some funds. They used to do it at the brewery, but the brewery in Canaan is closed, so they switched to the center, and Peter Vermillier was entrusted to do the questions, and they were having a hoot. It really was very funny, and lots of questions, and you realize you don't know a lot at these trivia events. At least I found that out. But it was a fun event, and it raises money for a good cause. This is scholarships for kids who graduate from Housatonic and have gone through school from Falls Village. So there, lots going on again.
There is.
Well, yeah,
springtime, springtime.
Just when you think you're running, running out of things to do, it's spring comes.
There'll be more and more going on. What I'm curious about, and I've got to do some digging here, I'm seeing along Route 44 between our house at Belgo Road and all the way through to Canaan, these periodic signs of Connecticut paves and signs being put up to say, you know, men working or work zone or whatever. I don't think you can say men working anymore, but work zone. And they're spotty. There's one coming into Lakeville from the hill, and then it says the construction ends when you're getting ready to go up the hill towards the school. And I'm wondering what is going on. There's probably three of these, I think, and they're very small areas. And I'm thinking, well, what is the state doing in these small little places?
Huh.
Why not pave the whole road? And it wasn't that long ago that it was paved, I don't think.
Mm.
So if you run into any thoughts on that, let us know. I'll see if I can poke around, because I'm just really, it's just these small strips, and I'm just curious beyond as to what exactly they're doing. And I have to assume maybe they're trying out. I know on the corners here, last year, I think it was, they put down this resurface, one here in Sharon. There's a Spears Corner in Lakeville. And I what I found out later was it's kind of a traction type of thing that goes on the road. And they were putting it down in these areas to test how it would hold up against, you know, snow plowing, chemicals, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just wondering if they're doing something like that.
So you see signs, but do you see them working?
No, there's nobody there. The signs have been put up, and these signs are in the ground, so there's something coming, and not portable. So it's,
and it's all. Remember when it started?
I started noticing them about 2 weeks ago going up. And the little small sign at the entrance to each of the areas says Connecticut Paves, and then a bunch of stuff you can't read on the bottom, but I wasn't about to stop and read it. But Connecticut Paves is the program, so.
It must be, it's got to be DOT, so.
I'm just curious as to why these strips like this, and they're notifying, so there's a reason they do that.
Right.
So there's got to be something going on there that I don't know about.
Well, you better sleuth it out.
And I thought, since you're wandering around out there all the time, you might.
The wandering room.
Is there any signs down your way saying that?
No, I have not. But, you know, I'm oblivious. I may not have seen them. You're much more observant.
You should not talk like that if you're driving down the road.
Yeah.
I'm oblivious. Oh, my God. We need to get lights and put on top of Ruth's car so we'll all know.
Right, you know I'm coming.
Watch out, I'm oblivious. Get out the way.
All right.
How about the oblivious wandering Ruth Epstein?
I don't think that's
Oh, well. Anyway, always a good time.
Okay.
I guess it's time for Jill to do her
thing.
Routine. Yeah, your thing.
And, routine.
And take us.
As always, for wandering on our behalf and everybody else's, this has been What's Going On Out There. Ruth with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's wandering, roving reporter.